So praise the Lord. I'm going to save the next the other video for a minute because it's actually a benefit. It's there's a point to that one, and it's really good. But the title of our session this evening is Maturing in Marriage. And so the word maturing just means to become more developed. And so no matter what stage you are in marriage, if you're newlyweds, if you've been married for 40 years, I talked to, was it Lent? 45? Was it 45 years? Lent? Yeah, 45 years. I mean, it's brilliant. Way to go. Thanks for leading the way. Yes. Thanks for being a great example. So, but it doesn't matter. Your marriage is always to be growing, and it's always to be developing, and it's always to be improving. And so we're gonna just share some different things dealing in that arena of maturing and becoming more developed in your marital relationship. And so we got assigned this one because we have a very interesting story. Me and my wife were married. We've been married for 23 years, but it was probably 8 years. We were probably married for 8 years, and I'll just give you the background of where we were in our stage of life. We were youth pastors. We were in the ministry. We graduated Bible school. Been married for 8 years, and we had a big fight. And up until this point in our marriage, we'd never really invested into our marriage. We never even really tried to apply the Word of God to our marital relationship. And we've been married for a season. I mean, life was good. It just, our marriage was not, like you hear people talk about having a good marriage and things like that, and ours wasn't at this time. And we were just ignorant. We had never really, even though we loved God and we were, you know, we read our Bibles, we did things like that, but we never really applied the Word of God to our marriage. And so we were very immature in our marital relationship. And so when I say immature, you think about a two-year-old or a three-year-old and how they act. You understand a two-year-old is fairly selfish. You know, marriage is not going to be real successful for selfish people. If you're selfish, it's going to be a struggle. And so competition. Anyone ever find themselves in kind of competition mode with your spouse?
Sadly, yes.
You know, not now, I'm sure, but yeah, we were married for 8 years, and here I'm a grown man. I've been married for 8 years, and I'm for some reason competing against my wife. I'm like jockeying for position. You know what I mean? And so we basically had this bottom of the barrel kind of event in our marriage. And we weren't healthy as far as our relationship. We were very immature. We acted like two-year-olds because we were constantly competing, jockeying for position, and we were extremely selfish. And we would have arguments maybe. I would think that my wife was being extremely irrational, and so I wanted.
And I was.
And and so I would do what only I would do, and I would want to see how far this will go before she'll snap out of it and realize you're being irrational.
It's a button pusher.
A button pusher. So I would draw. This is immature. Okay, this session's on maturing in marriage. So what we're trying to show you is, no matter where you're at, we hope to bring you hope, because if you find yourself struggling in your marriage, we were in that position. We didn't enjoy our marriage. We were committed, okay? We were in it to win it, but we didn't put any effort into it, and it wasn't really rewarding in our life. And so no matter what stage you're in, maybe you got it all together, but all the people that we know that have it all together, they love coming to marriage meetings because they want to make sure they keep it all together, right? And you keep Amen. Applying the Word of God to your marriage. So hopefully tonight and tomorrow we can help bring hope and future to growth and success in your relationship with your spouse. And so this is just where we were. Our marital relationship was not from my side. It was physical. Like my wife was physical. I would have to duck and dodge and miss the pan, right? Like anyone? it wasn't physical from my side. It was more verbally button pushing,
antagonistic,
very childish. Okay, and so we had this major event. And I don't know where you want to take over here because I try not to tell this story. I try not to tell this story because literally I on purpose pushed my wife to snap.
Yeah.
Because I was tired of her acting irrational, And I'm like, I'm just going to, I know I can do this because I got skills and I'm a 2-year-old. And so I literally, purposefully, I literally pushed my wife to the brink of snapping, and I watched her, what happened after that. And it rattled my cage because I knew I did that to my wife. And I really felt horrible after the fact. But in the moment, understand, I'm immature in my marriage. Even though we've been married for 8 years, we love the Lord in the ministry, but I on purpose pushed my wife to snap, and she snapped.
Yes.
And I watched the show, and then I felt really bad. And at that moment, I felt like the
reality.
Like, I felt like the bottom of the barrel. I need to figure something out. I really felt I don't know how to continue, and so.
And I went too far. You went too far.
I pushed my wife too far, and my wife went too far.
Yeah. Okay. So it's what happened as we're fighting, arguing. I came from. Now I was raised in the. I was raised in a pastor's home, and my family is very competitive. My family is very outspoken. We're in everybody's business, and so that's what you're used to. I didn't know. I just. Had anger issues and didn't realize certain things were triggers until they were a trigger. Do you realize that? You don't know what is a trigger until, boom, here you are walking it out. And so he kept antagonizing me. I didn't know what to do. I was so frustrated. And the thing that was right in front of me was a door. And so I just punched a hole through the door. Thank God it was a hollow door, because if anybody knows, that's ridiculous. That is completely stupid, right? And I just literally, it's like you just, like he said, and I broke. Once I actually connected with the door, saw the hole.
I ducked.
No, I wasn't throwing a fist at him. I did. Normally, he would make me so mad, and then he would hold my hands because that would make me even all the more angry.
I would get tired of getting beat on, and so I would constrain her.
I
would constrain her, and that really made it worse.
I was not becoming more developed emotionally at all. I was totally immature and not dealing with some of this stuff that I didn't even realize was totally something I needed to deal with. And so after that, it was something that just broke that we realized, and I dropped and I said, I need help.
She's uncontrollably crying and bawling on the floor in the living room after she punched this door. And I'm thinking, my wife just broke her hand because she's bawling because she's disappointed that she snapped.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I might have pushed this a little too far.
Angry.
Now I feel bad. My wife's got a broke, she didn't break her hand, but at the moment, I'm like, I just made my wife break her hand. And our marriage is now at the bottom of the barrel and so I'm going to the, she is uncontrollably emotional on the floor. I go to the freezer, I get a thing, I get some ice. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm trying to check on her hand because we've got this door and it's busted. she did it, But at that moment, I realized, me jockeying for position, me being selfish, me not growing up in my, what the relationship that God gave me to benefit me. This is my helpmate. I don't know my story. I finally looked into the Word of God, and I found out that the Bible talks about how I should be, how to be a husband. It's very simple. And there's a couple of verses that are extremely profound, and they're brilliant, and you can spend your whole life applying them to being a husband. And so I started from that moment of that snapping, that breaking moment, in recognizing that I was extremely selfish. I was just jockeying for position. I was always in competition with my wife. And I never, even though I loved God and I loved the Word of God and I applied the Word of God to other areas in my life, I had never put any effort into maturing in my marital relationship with my helpmate, the woman that God gave me, right? And so she's a mess, hot mess on the floor. I'm totally disappointed. And we this wasn't our first year of marriage, you know? I mean, we're in the ministry. We feel absolutely, I mean, this is, we're absolutely embarrassed.
Shame can come in
Shame,
real quick.
We feel real bad. And then we're dirt poor. We don't have any money. We weren't dirt poor. We were house poor. We bought too much house than we could afford. Anyone ever found themselves in that boat? But it was a great house, and we still own it today, and it's amazing. But we couldn't fix the door. We didn't have enough money to get a new door. And so I'm like, oh, I'll flip it around.
We put some stuff on
there's,
it. We
there's other door. Yeah, there's other
was,
doors in the house. I'll switch
terrible.
It.
People would come over like, you have a
We hung
picture.
A picture over the hole of the door,
door,
you know, like a hanging picture.
That doesn't
you know?
Fit. That doesn't belong there.
I mean, it just, and people would ask questions. We're like, please don't look behind there. We don't want to tell this story. But what we did is we realized we were immature in our relationship. And that's where we were. And I don't know that you're there or if you are. I'm telling you, in a short amount of time of applying the Word of God to our life, we began to mature.
Yes.
It doesn't happen overnight. But I found some scriptures. I started applying them to my life. And now I'll show you a picture of what it looks like when because today, we're not in that boat today. I am not in competition with my wife.
No.
She's not in competition with me. And so we invest in our marriage. Like what you guys are doing, I love that I get to be here. Not because I'm talking, but because I get to listen. I will get to listen. And I love talking to people who've been there, done that. And I love, so I hope we can chit-chat and you can share stories and how God's helped you grow in your marriage and different things like that. Do you want to share like what we kind of do now to continue to mature in our marriage?
Yeah. Well, it was shortly after that time we had got, I don't know, we were given, you bought, I'm not even sure, some marriage information, right? And we started when we would go, like we went up to Canada, there were some trips we'd just go and we took some time and we would listen. We would listen to the CD, or at that time I think it was CDs, and we would talk about it. We would listen to it. We would talk about it on our drive, because in our country, you're driving everywhere. It's no big deal. And, you know, we would actually dissect what we're hearing and trying to, how does that fit for us? How does that work for us? And we started actually pursuing one another and what knowledge, right? Knowledge is power. And when you get the Word of God on the matter, when you start applying, I mean, it says to be doers of the Word of God in James 1:22, but how many times you can be a doer in one area, which is what we're saying here. You can be more mature in one area, and in another area, you just need help. And we needed that. And so we started, we would, every time we would go out together, we didn't have kids at that time. I mean, Morgan was born, I think, a year or two after this. But we actively went after, we need assistance. We don't know it. We need to gain it. And so that's exactly what we did. And it, one thing after another, there was a security, there was a trust, there was a flow that we had never had. Because we were always jockeying for different positions. We were in the ministry, we were worshiping, we were doing all these things together, right? And so it just can get so out of whack very easily and become something that God ordained to be a helpmeet to one another. And when you're not working that out, it's pure destruction and havoc, and it opens up a door for the enemy to work in your life. And because I did not apply, and there was anger stuff, and knowing, man, I had to take and grab a hold of 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. I had to say, I am patient, I am kind, I am long-suffering. You know what? I'm not envious of what he does. I have my own position. He has his position. I'm together with him. I'm not, you know, I mean, you have to actually think about the word, right? Not just read over the word, which we can do because we get so religious about stuff, and really look at what the word says and start applying it and honoring him. I mean, I was not good. He started to love me in a totally different way, and it caused us to flourish because we didn't just say, oh, we need to do that, but never actually take steps to doing it.
Yep. And so we started applying the Word of God to our marriage and our relationship, and I quit trying to push my wife off the podium.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. It was like, why am I competing? Here's the deal. When you get married, the two become one. Like, this is my God-given helpmate. Like, if she falls off the podium, that means...
So do you.
I fall off the podium.
They're both. We're gone.
And so if my wife takes first and she's the champion of the world, guess what I am?
Yep.
And so I had to grow up and not be so selfish. And like, wait a second. Like, if my wife wins, that means I win. And so I heard something real brilliant the other day. It said, and a guy was talking about stuff. And I'm always looking for good marriage stuff. I'm always good looking for good nuggets. And because for 8 years, I lived at the bottom of the barrel in my relationship with my spouse, my God-given helpmate.
Right.
Right? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I didn't think I had a very good thing. I mean, I just didn't. I'm like, man, my wife is irrational, and she's, I don't understand. It's just, you know, I did. The pizza is round. It's in a square box. Comes in a triangle. I can't figure it out. Right? I didn't understand my wife. And instead of applying the word of God, because the word of God says, guys, we're supposed to dwell in our wife
with
understanding.
Dwell with your wife's understanding. Exactly.
Or your prayer life will be hindered. And so evidently God knows we do have the ability to understand. We just have to grow up and mature in our marriage relationship. This is my God-given helpmate. I mean, if she wins, I get the dub, right? I get to win. And so another interesting nugget, or what did I give you what that nugget was? He said this. He said, be the one who believes in the other more than the other, right? And that's and for 8 years, I wanted to one up my wife. I wanted to be better than I wanted to push her off the podium. And now today, because I've applied the word of God to my life, now I've gone from what I would call the bottom of the barrel to where we can help people also I can help people who are at the bottom of the barrel. I can help them change the view. I can at least help them to stand up so they can see over the top rim, you know, or help them get out of the barrel. Because I am the one who believe in my wife probably more than she believes in herself, right?
Yeah.
My wife is a superstar. She's a champion. She's a woman of God. She could preach the word of God better than anybody. I mean, I just love it. She's smoking hot. I mean, she is all that and a bag of chips. She really is. And she's a superstar. I love it. And so, but for 8 years, she was not that to me. She was in my way. She was, I wanted to make sure that I was, and it was just immaturity in our marital relationship. And we were married for 8 years. So and we're dealing with like first 3 months of marriage stuff, you know? It's not a time thing. But at some point in time, you got to recognize need to grow up in this relationship, and I want to be the one who believes in the other more than the other. And so, you anything? We want to move. Okay. Another important nugget, if you want to mature in your marriage, to understand and to realize and to try to implement into your relationship, is the fact that marriage should improve every year.
Yeah.
All right. And you hear a lot of people talk about, the first year of marriage was great. We got sex all the time, and it just was great. And now I don't know if anyone told you this. My family is, did not grow up with a relationship with God. I grew up lost. And so, my family would say, your first year of marriage, put a quarter in the jar every time you get laid. And then, and then after your first year of marriage, take the quarter out, and you'll always have money in there. And I'm like, that is the dumbest
terrible
thing. I mean, that's the advice I'm getting from my family, okay? I'm like, oh my God. But they're like you cannot name any career, any sport, anything in life where the rookie is the best one on the field. Or you know what I mean? Like if you have to go in for a surgical procedure, how many of you want to go to the guy that's never done the procedure before?
No thanks.
No way, right? Yet we look back and like, newlyweds. We're like, they don't have a care in the world. They're living their life naked. I mean, it's just like, remember the glory days. Like, no, I mean, marriage is not, it is not the best when you're a rookie. It's supposed to get better every year,
yeah.
Right? Anybody, I was you call me a mechanic. I didn't fix cars. I fixed office equipment. But the more office equipment I fixed, the better I got at fixing office equipment. The more you fix a car, the better you get at fixing cars.
Right.
the longer you're married, the better you should be at being
Amen.
Married. Okay? So that part of that is the maturation process of growing in your marriage. It's not designed to get worse as you go. It's designed to improve because we're growing up. We're applying the Word of God. We're getting better. We're believing in each other more. We're becoming the one who believes in the other more than the other. Yeah. And it is a process. And this doesn't happen overnight.
Nope.
We did not fix this the next day.
No, this has been
but
a process.
But we started implementing some things. I started looking. I got my God's got to be able to. God had helped me through addiction. At this point in my life, God had helped me through addiction. God had helped me through. I was self-conscious when I was by myself. Like, you know, that means that you care about what other people think about you. Only there was nobody around. I was by myself. So, you know, if that's the case, there is a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? But God had delivered me from chronic back pain. God had delivered me from all kinds of things. His hand was on my life. He was doing amazing things for me. And I never, it was that moment, 8 years, hole in the closet door, my wife bawling on the floor uncontrollably. While I'm grabbing that ice out of the freezer, I realize I'm sure God can help me. In this moment, and help me be a better husband, because I was ashamed, right? And so we started applying the Word of God to our marriage, and we started doing things, and we would go on trips, and we'd listen to marriage material, read books, try to implement the Word of God into our marital relationship, because that's the deal. How do I get from here to there, right? If you're at the bottom of the barrel, how do I get out, mm-hmm. right? Or if I'm just at the top and I'm almost out, how do I get going to where I can help somebody else? I mean,
right.
How do we get from here to there? And it really comes down to the same thing. It's the same way you establish who you are in Christ. It's the same way you develop your relationship with God. It's the same way you believe God and to walk through pain that you have in your body or a problem that you're experiencing in the physical realm. It's the same thing, you know, and it is you apply the Word of God to your marriage relationship. And so we grabbed a hold of a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, and she's going to share on this more tomorrow. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. They're both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And this is a picture of what God designed marriage to be like. And this is before the fall of man, okay? The fall happened in chapter 3. This is Genesis chapter 2. This is God's design for marriage. And so people say, well, is it possible to have that kind of marriage today? And I would tell you 100%, if you do what this verse says, this verse outlines four very simple, very specific things. And I call these the laws of marriage. And if you apply the laws, how many understand what the law of gravity is? The law of gravity says what goes up must come down.
Right.
And it's 9.8 feet per whatever. I mean, this is a real nerdy. Anyone in here an engineer or understand the pull of gravity? And anyways. It's a law. It doesn't matter who you are, what shape you are. It doesn't matter. If I lift this up and let go of it, it's coming down. Okay? It's a law. And I believe before the fall of man, these two verses are God's laws of marriage. And if you apply these to whatever stage of marital relationship you're in, this works for blended families. Anyone in here, blended family? Yes, and praise the Lord. Now you can have that means you've had a previous relationship, or you both came into the deal with kids. Your situation is not like maybe what you call it comes with an extra degree of difficulty is what it comes with.
Yes, it does.
Because you have history to deal with. You've got things to overcome rather than
Absolutely.
Two 18-year-olds coming together who ain't never had a relationship before, don't have any baggage to overcome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But these four laws apply even if it doesn't matter if you're blended, doesn't matter if you've been there, done that, doesn't matter if you're newlywed, doesn't matter if you've been married for 50 years, doesn't matter. You apply these four very simple things to your marriage and it will work. It's like the law of gravity. And it's very simple. The first thing he talks about is priority. He says, a man shall leave his father and mother. You know, when you're single, you have no priorities, right? When I got married, I was 22 years old. I was working for minimum wage at a golf course, right? Like, I didn't own anything. I didn't have any. I barely had a checkbook, right? I didn't have any priorities. I had to go to work, and that was about it. So the closest thing in my life to a priority was my family. And God says, you know, leave your family and be what? Joined to your wife. So now, and you if anyone's been alive for any amount of time or been through different stages of life where you've been married, then you have kids, maybe you have grandkids, the more life you experience, how what happens to you on the priority list? You just get pushed down farther and farther and farther and farther. But if you get married, your relationship with God, number one, always be number one. If you're married, your relationship with your spouse is the number two priority in your life behind God. Always will be. Doesn't matter. Kids, grandkids, career, job, simple. If your wife is a priority in your life, your marriage is going to improve. And if she's not the number two priority in life, your marriage is not going to improve. It's not going to flourish like it could. Like it could. And so you can prove your priority through sacrifice, time, energy, and attitude. Priority is provable. Because if I won't give up time for my wife, that means she's not as important as whatever that time I'm allotting. You understand what I'm saying? And so and there's just simple laws. I don't know if you want to kick in, but I'm just covering these briefly. So priority, then he says that the husband should cleave, or if you, that's a King James word. If you read other translations, it'll say pursue, or you might say, in today's vernacular lingo language, we would say like date, like chase after. Yeah. Like if you quit chasing your spouse, if you quit, you know, I remember when we were dating, didn't matter how tired it was, didn't matter how many hours I worked today, it didn't matter. I got home, I took a shower, and I couldn't wait to talk to Terry.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. And I did. I'd go to work at 5 in the morning. She went to work at 5. She was a nurse. She went to work at 5 in the morning also. She worked in the nursing home, and I worked at the golf course, and we're at work at 5, and we don't get off till 5. And I couldn't wait to get out of the shower and hang out with my girlfriend, you know, my fiance, until like 2 in the morning.
Right.
I had no troubles mustering up the energy to spend time with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I can't come home after work, after my, you know, and sit on the couch and go, you know what I mean? And like, I got no effort. I got no energy. I got no pursuit. I you know what I mean? I mean, it's just, these are just simple things. It's in this verse. These are the laws of marriage. Pursuit. Chase your spouse,
amen,
right? Be
yes.
genuinely interested yes. in them, right? In order to pursue your spouse, it takes effort, energy, and focus. Very simple. Yeah. Effort, energy, and focus. You got to put energy, effort, and you got to think about stuff. Okay, if I'm going to not be selfish, if I'm going to not jockey for position, and I'm not going to be in competition here, let me think about what would my wife like tonight when I get home from work? What would be like the best case scenario for, and I know what that would be for my wife because I know my wife. And she wants to sit on the couch and she wants me to rub her back and talk about what I did today. I don't want to do that.
But he does it.
But I do it. I'm tired. I don't want to rub your back. Come on. I'll sit on the couch all right, you know, but I want to take a nap. I want to go to bed. I don't like to talk. It's funny, I get paid to talk for, I mean, I'm a pastor. I talk, this is what I do. I don't like talking. I can drive multiple hours and not say a word. But if I'm going to pursue and be genuinely interested in my spouse, in my wife, I'd better put some energy and some focus and some thought into my wife. So that's the cleaving, right? You leave, you reprioritize your life, you cleave, you pursue. You always have to be pursuing. Second law of marriage. Third law of marriage is possession, right? He says be joined, be cleave. It says the two shall become what? One flesh. The two shall become one. That means everything from the two becomes one. That includes assets. It also includes liabilities. And so what I do, I capitalize on my wife's assets and I cover her liabilities.
Yeah.
Right? I assume, I sacrifice my own rights and I assume liability. That's what it means for us to be one. It's just a simple, you know, oh, well, you got to be careful. These are laws of marriage. I'm telling you, if you're not one, then you're going to find yourself in competition. You're going to find yourself jockeying for position. You're going to find yourself, right, pushing your God-given helpmate off the podium, right? And you think you're going to be on top, only you're you're right. Wherever your spouse is where you are, because the two have become one, right? It's a law of marriage. And just for, it's we just call it possession. And the last thing out of this verse is purity. And that means unhindered access to each other's spirit, soul, and body. It's not just a sex thing. That is included, right? You should be able to party hardy. you know what I mean? You should be okay, comfortable in your own skin and be able to hang out. It's valuable, okay? But also, and all the guys love that, but you know, they get to the emotional side of things. And women are physically modest. Guys are, I really don't care. I'm not physically modest at all. I just don't care. I mean, forget that the curtains are open in my house and I'm like, you know, vibing on the couch in my underwear, you know what I mean? My house and my neighbor's house are the identical house and all the windows line up. And I'm like, my wife goes like, my curtains aren't closed. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I stand up and I go close. I don't care because I'm physically immodest. I don't care. Okay. I don't care. Not the case for my wife. Now, emotionally, I'm very emotionally modest, right? I don't share my feelings. I don't have feelings. I'm a soulless robot. Not true, but I don't share my feelings, yet my wife wants access to that arena in my life, and so we are different, and so purity is a law of marriage. You have to be open with one another. That includes your relationship with the Lord. That includes the soulish arena, and it includes the physical arena. You know, these simple four laws of marriage. And it's brilliant. I know you wanted to get to something in Ephesians 5. So this is another portion of Scripture that really helped us out. My wife's going to share a little bit about Ephesians chapter 5.
Well, I think that as women, we want what we want, right? And we don't, I realized for myself, I had not been honoring and esteeming my husband. They need an attaboy. They need our words of praise and say, that was awesome, instead of our complaints and our critiquing. And I feel like, you know, I'm very good at that. Well, I didn't like this and I didn't like, not necessarily just, but you can, you know, ministry stuff, instead of just saying, ah, babe, that was awesome. I can go to him and say, did you see that this was not right and this was not right? And I mean, I can just go and go down the list of all the things and all the flaws that I see. And it's not necessarily towards him, but it is involving him, and that's what he hears and shuts him down. And so I know that what the word says, you know, we say, you know, some men would like to say submit, woman, right? You know, but that's not
what that means. It's not like a dog training your dog. That word husbands or wives submit to your husbands is not like training your dog.
No.
It's not what that word means.
No.
Okay. But guys got to know that, because we think, oh, I'm the head of this house. You know, it's like that thing right away, like how to make your wife laugh. You know, look her in the eye, say, I am the boss. You must do what I say. I mean, that is not what that means. But what it means is that you what?
You reverence, you honor, you respect your husband. And in the day and age we live in, I mean, we don't give respect to whoever we don't want to give respect to. We say what we say, and you have to deal with those words that came out of our mouth. And it's not right. And we allow what's going on in our culture to come in right on inside our home. And the culture, what we have to live by is right here, is the word of God. And so, you know, I just got to read this. This is out of the Passion Translation, Ephesians 5, 21 through 24, and then even down through 33. But it says, and out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. We have got to be supportive. This is going both ways here, okay? For wives, this means being devoted to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. Oh, we can say how much I love you, Lord. You're so awesome. You're so good. Oh, man, why can't you pick up after yourself? What is wrong with me? What wrong with you? Seriously. You know, I mean, it's so interesting how we can, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, and turn on a dime, you know? Okay.
Maturing in marriage.
Maturing in marriage.
No, it's good, though.
Exactly. Okay, so verse 23, for the husband provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ provides leadership for his church as the savior and reviver of the body. I mean, this is really good. The husband provides leadership. The husband is to be a leader. But if you as a wife, as a spouse, are not allowing him to lead, guess what? You're not going to be, he's not going to be savior to you, a helper to you, a rescuer to you, because you've got it all handled. You don't need him. We need him. We need each other as and a reviver of the body. I love how that says that, because I know when you're looking at this, it's an avenue of what the church, what marriage should look like. In the same way the church is devoted to Christ, let the wives be devoted to their husbands in everything. We have got to take a different look. We have got to really, truly honor. And honor, let me tell you what that says. It's a valuing. It's something that's weighty and precious, such as gold. It's appreciation. It's esteem. It's a favorable regard and a respect. And we need to have that towards our husbands, because the job of the husband is to love his wife. Men, if you're loving your wife well, you're going to have a really, really happy home, because it's just going to be natural. I'm not saying you do this to get that. That is a misconception in marriage. It is not 50-50. It's 100-100. And we have to, and how you're going to go about that is you're going to honor, you're going to esteem, you're going to say, man, that was amazing, hon. Thank you so much for doing the little things, right? We're looking for the big things, and we're missing all these little things that's going to make all the difference in your home and in your marriage. And we're raising kids, right? We have 3 kids of our own. What they see in their home, they're going to live out eventually for them. So,
amen. And we're going to close. Can I show that last video titled "The Struggle is Real"? This is a brilliant picture of someone who is matured in marriage. Okay. And we'll close with, I'm going to just a quick point, but you'll understand what I'm saying when you watch this video, because it's a brilliant picture of being mature in marriage. So this is a brilliant illustration of what it looks like to be mature in marriage, because the guy went under very efficiently. What was the goal? Get through the obstacle. The goal is to get through the obstacle. The guy had a different idea of getting through the obstacle than the wife. Both had absolute opposite. One went under, one went over. And we have a tendency when we're immature in our marriage to look, to get off our bike and look back and say, what are you doing? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Put your bike under and just go under. But the guy didn't. The guy got off his bike. He went over. He helped her get her bike through the obstacle. Come on. Just helped her. And he didn't, when she then decided to like try to throw herself over the top of the obstacle. Just because somebody does something different doesn't mean that they're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're right. I'm not in competition. What's the goal? We're getting through this obstacle, and we're going to do it together. And just because you did it different than me doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right. See how I'm right and you're wrong, and you're wrong and I'm right. Yeah, still got a little immature. That's right. Praise the Lord. But it's just, it's that video to me is a brilliant picture of someone who'd probably struggled in that arena. You know, I mean, that's hard. Like, I mean, I think about, oh, I would have said something for sure. Like, come on, just go under. But the guy didn't. He helped his wife get over the bar, and then she even jumped over, and he didn't say, you idiot, or, you know, helped her over. And that is, you know, it's just we're just closing this session with a picture of what it looks like to mature in marriage. Amen? Amen. Well, that's what we got for first session. Take it away, Mr. Bunky.